Hello and welcome to the podcast series called Behind the Athlete. My name is Raf Agostino and I have the privilege of working at School Sport Victoria. You might have noticed that we're really excited by the athletes that have come through our Team Vic pathway, the athletes we're calling Team Vic alumni. These athletes have gone on to be elite athletes and even wear the green and gold and represent their country and become an Olympian. We're pretty excited by that. So we knew there were life lessons to be learned by talking to not just the athletes, but the people who are support staff and have played a significant role in these athletes becoming who they are. So enjoy this short podcast series called Behind the Athletes as we dive into the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows, as we talk to parents, coaches, teachers, principals, anyone who's had a significant part in these Team Vic alumni athletes becoming elite athletes and Olympians. We're really excited and we hope you get lots of lessons out of this short series. Enjoy.
Did you know? School Sport Victoria offers 650,000 sporting opportunities in 31 different sports. At 10,700 events across the state, every single year. That's a lot of kids playing sport. And for over 25 years, the Victorian School Sports Awards have recognised more than 1,500 students, teachers and volunteers for excellence and outstanding contribution to school sport. Now that's a champion effort.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Behind the Athlete. And today I'm joined by the very lovely Ashley and Tina Pierce, who is actually Cole Pierce's mum, Tina, and sister Ashley. So we're going to get all the goss on this young man and him growing up. Welcome to you both.
Hello.
Tina, we'll start with you. Just give us a little bit of background about yourself, who you are, you know, all that sort of stuff around your relationship to Cole.
I'm Cole's mum, Tina. We're dairy farmers near Echuca. And, oh my gosh, I've forgotten the rest of the question.
Oh, just tell us a bit about you. Like, you know, you.
Me. Cole's the youngest of four children, so I've got four children and I spread them over 11 years, so this is where Cole gets very lucky. I just milk dairy cows, so that was quite easy to work around Cole's swimming to date, because yep. We're the owners, so we don't work for people, so we can dictate what at times the cows get milked within yep. reason. Yep. So it's been very helpful to be able to get Cole to where he is at present. It's just, the cows work around Cole and right. It all works really well. Being dairy farmer and having Cole at the level of swimming he's at works well for us.
Brilliant. And what about yourself, Ashley?
I'm the oldest child, so obviously the most important one. I'm in Cole's world. We live together in Melbourne. So when he first decided, I guess, to take the step to becoming serious, I was already living and working in Melbourne. I'm that bit older. And so we sort of put our heads together and decided that boarding school probably wasn't the best choice for Cole. He would be running the show and we thought that might not get us where we wanted to be. So, we've always gotten along well together. So in he came with me. We upgraded apartments. We moved nice and close to his school and swimming pool. Yep. And, he's been with me since the start of 2018.
Brilliant. That's great.
Pretty much full time. Yeah.
That's great. And I think you being modest there too, word on the street is that he gets all his swimming talent and skill from you as well. Would that be right?
Surely not me, because I'm a terrible swimmer.
Just joking.
I I couldn't swim to save myself, to be honest.
All right, let's get
on. Ironic.
Just joking. But anyway, we'll get into it. Cole has come through the Team Vic program, through the Team Vic pathway in swimming, been to a number of School Sport Australia swimming championships, kept you very busy, Tina, as a mother. Just, you know, the work that you guys have put in. Was there a time when yourself, Tina, and maybe yourself too, Ashley, thought this kid could one day represent Australia or become a Paralympian and, you know, be an elite athlete? Was there a time when that penny dropped for you?
Well, to be honest, Cole wasn't even a member of Swimming Victoria when he made his first school sports Victoria team. Mm-hmm. We had to actually join a club just for Cole to be able to go to his first school sports Victoria thing. We never thought much of it. He just did really well through the school side of it and ended up in Melbourne.
Yep.
Then ended up, we are nominated for the team, not realising exactly how expensive and how many years this was going to entail. But look, it was wonderful. He really loved it. And to be honest, we didn't really think much of it until we met with the late Jan Cameron in September of, what year was it, Ashley? Do you remember?
2017.
September 2017.
It was just months before the move to Melbourne. Jan sort of popped up and said, oh, we think there might be some talent here. Mm-hmm. And then I remember a conversation with Mum and we thought, oh, really? Yeah, he's always good, but is he that good?
That's so good.
That was, I guess in hindsight, we probably should have known better.
But I think it's nice that you, I mean, we'll talk about this in a second, but obviously you didn't put any pressure on him to compete at that level because it wasn't on the radar in your thinking. It's not that you didn't believe in your child. It's just, it was just a foreign concept to you and you just loved the fact that he enjoyed the sport. Would that be right?
Yeah, Cole was always told that if he never wanted it, he just had to say, like, swimming was just something that we did for quite a while. And we did it because he liked being able to compete with other kids. Cole is very competitive. Mm-hmm. Anyone that knows that, like, life is competitive for Cole, full stop. Mm-hmm. So Cole did little acts, football, cricket, basketball, never did tennis, only because I don't like tennis.
Yeah.
We tried him in all sports to try and see where he could fit because I was always the big believer of, well, you're only missing your right foot. There's nothing too dramatically wrong with you. Like you need to be able to play sport because sport is how kids learn to socialize and learn pecking orders of life and just how to socialize. Like it's such an important thing. We sort of fell into swimming by sheer accident because the main reason we swam was because there's a lot of water around us. So we've got house dams and dairy dams and channels and water troughs. Like there's just a lot of water in our world. So we really went to swimming lessons to become like just in my head it was, well, they always say they drown in the very quickly. So I was like, well, if they could tread water long enough for me to realize where they were, that this is never a bad thing. So, he hated swimming lessons. But we had a number of different swim teachers, but one swim teacher in Echuca just went, oh, Cole had probably, or both the boys, because both my boys were swimming at the time, went, oh, Cole would probably do really well under this older gentleman down the end of the pool called Russell Parsons. And from there it was, one day a week Cole would swim with Russell and then all of a sudden it was 2 days and then we made the school sports Victoria team. So then it needed to be three and then the next year it was four sessions a week. And hell's bells, before we know it, we're doing eight sessions a week. If anyone had told me that I was going to be running around after him eight sessions a week, being a full-time dairy farmer, still having two to three children at home, I would have just said, you're crazy. I don't have time for that. Like, I don't know how you think that's going to happen. And then we got to the point with Russell at Cole really wanted to play cricket on a Wednesday night. And I said to Russell, look, we can't train on a Wednesday night anymore. We really need I have to run around after Corey. That's my other son. Yeah. I said, Corey's got cricket and he's feeling very left out and he just would like mum to run him to cricket. Corey didn't feel left out and Corey didn't want me to run around after cricket. Cole wanted to play cricket and Russell not know about it. So we tried to let Cole do multiple things. Like I didn't want to lock him into a path unless he really loved it. But with the cricket, this is where having the prosthetic limb, he couldn't bowl quite right. And he hyperextends his knee when he runs. So running's a little bit awkward. So once we discovered that we could swim and then be quite competitive, his competitive streak really flourished in the water, because in the water, he doesn't have a disability with most kids. Like he just felt normal. So it just swimming, we just really fell into swimming by sheer accident, really, just through learning to swim and just this one person, this one lovely lady who sent us down the swimming path, I suppose, is really where we're up to.
I mean, that's quite amazing that he hadn't been involved in swimming, didn't quite enjoy swimming, and then jumped into school sport and was discovered in a sense through schooling and through his involvement in school. You've also touched on something really important, I think, is it's important for kids at a young age to do lots of sports, not just focus on one sport, but actually be involved in many sports, because you can't really, you know, you get benefits from a many sports. What advice would you then give to parents who have children that live with them that are potentially going to be the next Paralympian, the next, you know, Olympian, next elite athlete? What advice would you give to those parents?
My advice would be to support the dream, because dreams do come true. And just make sure things are age appropriate for the child. To get the dream to stay alive, in my opinion, it has to be their dream. It can't be your dream. And just do everything you can to support the dream, because no one remembers the 12-year-old age champion, but they do remember kids that go on and be able to make it onto Olympic teams and Paralympic teams. Like, you don't have to be the best 12-year-old in the country. It's okay to get DQ'd at School Sports Victoria, at Nationals in Adelaide for the 100 butterfly, your pet event, your gold medal, your Australian age record, get disqualified and be utterly shattered for the rest of the day. That's okay. This is for fun at this point. That happened to Cole, and he turned around. We just let him have his feelings and his moments, and then he turned around and won an individual medal. I believe it was breaststroke, which we can't do breaststroke to save ourselves in point score. So it's just believe in the dream and just don't be hard on them when something goes wrong, because they're hard on themselves when they get it wrong. Like, you're just pick them up and just believe and support the dream. It's a Formula One vehicle. We just feed it and fuel it physically and emotionally. Like, just, yep.
You've said so much in that that is so amazing to capture, you know, living the dream. It's not their parents' dream. It's a kid's dream. Ashley, as a sister, what advice would you give to other sisters listening in about, you know, these goals that they might have living with them?
Yeah, I've actually spent the last 3 years with Cole. So that's been his year, year 9, 10, 11, 12, basically.
Yeah.
And my advice is sort of tailored when you get to that later teenage years, parties become a thing.
Yeah.
Late nights out with friends become a thing. And particularly with swimming, you've got really early mornings, big days when you're at school, and then Cole is training in the afternoons as well. So his need for 8 hours sleep is so much higher than everyone else's need for 8 hours.
Yep.
So part of what we've spent a long time instilling in him is that it's okay to miss out on things and sacrifice things for the dream, and enable him being able to sort of use you as a bit of a scapegoat and the value of a white lie, like, oh, you know, I can't stay out too late. Ashley said so. Like, I've not imposed a curfew on Cole ever because I haven't had to, because he imposes his own curfew so that he's home in bed so that he can get a good night's sleep before training. And it's just being there, that, you know, that support. Always come armed to the parties with, you know, two four packs of kombucha and some chalky milk. So yeah. If, you know, there is, if there is something there, there's a beer or something, there's no temptation there. Mm-hmm. If there's, you know, dinners at home with his friends, there's always heaps of fruit, heaps of healthy snacks, so that, yes, his friends can go off and have pizzas, but he can load up on, you know, healthy snacks and then go have a couple of slices of pizza. So it's just the little things when they get to that age where supporting them changes and it becomes something a bit different. We had a bit of a do at our house recently to celebrate, you know, the trip to Tokyo. Mm-hmm. And beside the lolly platter and all the chips was some pretzels and some fruit, and you know, the fridge was stocked with sparkling water. It's just those little things that make it easy for him to still feel a part of the crowd and, you know, the life of the party that he loves to be, but making those good, you know, podium choices, as he would call them.
Which is great.
But otherwise, just allow him to be himself at home is another big one. Mm-hmm. You know, gracious in defeat, gracious in victory. And then whenever you're out in public, you know, you're the shining example, you're a role model. And then when you come home, home's a safe place. If you want to have a cry because you didn't do very well, or if you want to have a whinge because someone you're not the biggest fan of did better than you and it feels a bit crap, come home and whinge. Whinge to the people that love you. But yeah, when you're out and being a role model, you're, you know, shining, you're great, you're gracious, and there's nothing to be said negative about anyone. That's something we've always really encouraged.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you've both said some fantastic stuff in there. You know, the, it's stuff that generally maybe parents, sisters don't kind of think about. You've both had such a vital role in it. And for anyone who's, we'll put this link in our socials, but for anyone who hasn't seen the video that Channel 7 did on Cole, the moment when he was announced in the team shows, you know, he shows a lot of emotion, but it shows how much it means to him. That must have been a really special moment for the family too, because I know how tight you are as a family.
Yeah, just watching him through the afternoon, and just, he was convinced he wasn't going to make the team. So yeah, once he did make it, it was amazing. So
yeah, I guess it's, you know, I guess one of those moments where it's probably going to stay with you no matter what happens in Tokyo with the Paralympics, and what, you know, what achievements he achieves. That moment is pretty special for you guys. And I saw the painted hay bales as well. It's pretty incredible. Now, just rewinding back a little bit, you talked about Cole training and training hard and being self-determined and self-driven. There was a time there where lockdowns were happening in Melbourne and he couldn't train. So you guys set up the dam as part of his training routine. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, when we went into the first lockdown, when they shut all the schools down and stuff, they only live in this tiny little apartment at the time in Melbourne, because it was got, because Cole swam and did all this gym and went to school and Ashley worked. They really only slept there. So was never designed to be schooled in and worked in and all that kind of stuff. So we were like, well, come home, like, use this. You haven't been home, because he'd come home for Christmas for about a week, but, and that was it. He'd been on Swimming Australia camps and he'd been back to Melbourne for just to get training in and stuff, because it's an Olympic year. So we went, like, when they shut everything down and then they were saying that everything would be shut, we went, I don't know whether I got him or Dad got him, but one of us went and got him. And then when he got home, it's like, right, we've got to get into Echuca and get to the sports shop, get whatever gym gear you think you're missing. So we spent a fair whack of money in there that day buying weights, because none of our weights were heavy enough. So the first day was just about getting him home and then getting the stuff from the sports shops before they shut down, because nobody wants to pay their postage for weights. So then the next day it was like, right, well, we need to get your school set up. So school was first. Then we did the dam, and then we did the carport, because I was really quite worried about his mental health, because mm-hmm. when they shut everything down, the Olympics hadn't been called off. Mm. And then he was quite concerned, well, how am I going to train? Like, the Olympics are on until they're not on. Mm. So I'm like, well, let's just do the whole damn thing. And he was a bit hummy and hurry about it. And I'm like, well, I'm sure we could make it work. And so, yeah, the things that we do to try and look after their mental health, because as everybody is fast learning through all these lockdowns, mental health is a very big thing, and the mind is just as valuable as the physical side of being looked after. So, I just didn't want him to fall into bad habits, because like most athletes, Cole really loves food. So I was worried about him gaining weight, because then that would have to come off as well, and just losing fitness. And like I said, the games hadn't been called off. So I was really just very concerned about his mental health. We had to order a wetsuit, so none of the dam could happen until the wetsuit come in, because we were already kicking into autumn at that point. So it was already starting to get a bit chilly. So, we just got him in there, and he loved it. And it was the most, look, I love sitting there, but honestly, all I sat there and did was I could be doing something else. But the number one rule is you never swim alone. So there was always someone. I don't know what I was going to do if he went under, because, like, the dam's a pretty big place and you can't see anything. Mm-hmm. But we followed the rules, and he was never allowed there on his own. Like, someone always – I had a kayak, so if I needed to get out there, I could throw the kayak in or whatever, because I'm like, can I get there fast enough? He was drowning anyway. But yeah, we just did it to make sure his mental health stayed on track was the main reason it was done. And it worked, because he survived the first lockdown. And then from after that, he then managed on his push bike. So what we failed to say before is when Cole moved to Melbourne, Ashley is a busy lady. Mm-hmm. And he basically, he does his own washing. He gets himself to and from the pool. He makes his own school lunches.
Wow.
Cole is very self-sufficient. So there is, Ashley really loves it when it rains. That is sarcasm at its best, because he knocks on her door and goes, Ashley.
At 5 a.m. So,
because he doesn't want to ride the training.
He's a bit tougher now, but when he first moved, he wasn't quite so tough.
I mean, you both have, I did think that. I wondered how he was getting the training when he was living with you, Ashley, but you've answered that. You talked about the sacrifices that Cole has made. I'm now starting to see that you both have made some sacrifices too. Do you want to just expand on that just a little bit, both for yourself, Tina, and Ashley, what sacrifices you guys have made to get Cole to where he is?
For me, I found it really hard, him moving to Melbourne for the start, because he was only 14, so it was only year 9. And look, we don't have public transport come to where we live. They had a school bus that turned up at 8 o'clock in the morning and then dropped them off at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. That is the extent of the public transport network that we have. It's school buses every day, same time, same kids, same everything. So for me, it was making me feeling very comfortable with him getting around the city on his own. Cole and I spent a lot of time traveling to and from Melbourne on trains and catching trams, and him learning how to do it because there was this lovely coach from Geelong Swim Club who once said, country boys don't do city boys very well. Just make sure we get it right from the start and do what was best for Cole. So what was best for me was driving to Melbourne. It was so much easier, but we did the hard work and we did the public transport network, because it is very daunting. Like, if I'm having issues as an adult who has used it in the past, getting from Rochi train station through to Windsor train station as such, like, there's a lot of connections have to be made through that. And even for him to come home on a Friday afternoon after school, Ashley doesn't knock off work till like 5, 5:30, and he finishes school at 3:30. So just getting himself from the apartment to Southern Cross and then to Bendigo, like for me, probably the hardest part of him moving was just worrying about where he was up to all the time, because I'm always 3 hours away. It doesn't matter what happens to him. I can't get there faster than 3 hours. So I found it very nerve-wracking. I got very lost because I went from having this child that I had to run around after 8 times a week and fit all my jobs in around to going, oh, it's 5:30 and I haven't got to go anywhere. What do I do now? So I actually had to find a hobby, like, because Cole was my hobby, like between swim meets on weekends and all the training that he did. I got very lost for a little while, and yeah, I've had to find some hobbies, and so I found some hobbies, and I hadn't missed a swim meet up until last year. So I was making the effort of going to every swim meet in Melbourne, like I was up here, trying not to miss stuff, to try and just to see him, because teenage boys love talking to their mums.
That's sarcasm, right?
Oh, that was a lot of sarcasm. Teenage boys are like, what do you want to ask me about my day for, mum? Like, geez. So, but yeah, that was, I just missed him. Like every parent that's ever sent children away, I suppose. We didn't do boarding school, but like every child that gets sent away to boarding school, we just miss them. I can't wait for school holidays to get here. But what happened for me is school holidays after he made the team to go to Worlds back in 2019, I can't come home. I've got training, mum. Like, geez. So mum really suffered last year when she couldn't go down. So for me, the lockdowns were really hard because you've got Cole and Ashley in Melbourne that can't come home. I can't go down there. Yeah. So I found the lockdowns of last year and this year particularly hard, just not being able to go see him, because he's an adult now, but being underage and not allowed home because his principal place of residence was Melbourne. It wasn't here.
Yeah.
So I found the lockdowns particularly hard, not being out, because I've got 3 in Melbourne. So I found that particularly hard. Yeah,
that would be very hard. And it's same for you, Ash. Would you, if you had to, you know, articulate one or two sacrifices that you've made, what would they be?
I'd say mine were the opposite to Mum's, in that I had too much time with Cole.
Right.
And he, with love, I say that. I guess a lot of the early mornings and the runarounds when I could, just to help him settle, that took a while. And then just adjusting to, you know, a teenage boy being responsible for himself. There were lots of petty squabbles about whose turn it was to do the dishes and why we don't take wet washing out of the washing machine and just let it sit in the basket. But when those sort of issues settled, it's actually not a sacrifice. He's a pretty good roommate. Yeah. He eats a lot, and that's really hard to keep up with. It's quite embarrassing for one person to buy 21 yogurts a week. the people at my local Woolies now know that I'm feeding a Paralympian. I'm not sitting at home just eating only YoPro.
Yep.
Banana YoPro. I was actually joking with a friend that now that Cole's up in the Cairns bubble, the Paran Woolies is over ordering banana YoPros because there's not someone coming in and taking 2 packets a week. But it's just having, you know, having an elite athlete in your life is just a bit weird. The time there's a constant smell of chlorine in the house. You know, there's someone up at 5 every morning, but I don't really see it as a sacrifice so much as just, you know, my small contribution to the dream.
Yeah. Which is a beautiful way to say it. Then coming back to you, Tina, you've talked about your 3 kids and they're all, I don't know if you want to talk about what you do, Ashley, but you're also an incredible achiever as well. Was there a time, Tina, when, or how did you, probably a better way to put it, how did you balance the various achievements with Cole, Ashley and Corey all achieving in sport and life? How did you give it due diligence, if that makes sense?
Well, we forgot Stephanie, so there's actually 4.
Oh, sorry, Stephanie. Sorry about that. Yeah.
I don't think she'd featured in the chat yet.
Yeah, she, because she, There's
a bit of a split, if I might go. Yep. So my sister, yep, Stephanie and I were born quite close together. So 92, 95 respectively.
Yep.
And then there was a bit of a gap. So Corey and Cole weren't born until the early 2000s.
Right,
so we didn't all necessarily grow up together, which I think helped, because for most of Cole's sort of big time achievements, Stephanie and I were at university. So
right,
we didn't have, we, you know, we were totally raised in almost different generations. So it was a bit helpful in that regard. Our family, whilst very competitive in nature, none of us happened to be good at the same thing.
Right.
So that's helped kind of balance the attention, and we're all kind of, we're on very different paths. So like, I'm a solicitor. I'm definitely not an elite athlete, and working from home last year with Cole and I sort of together, we kind of decided, you know, what you do is what you do and what I do is what I do. And I definitely don't want to have to do what you do during the day.
Yep.
So there's no real jealousy, because we're both in awe, or we're all in awe of what the others do. Like, my sister works in events and my other brother is a builder. I can't build anything and I couldn't organize an event to save myself. So it's kind of a blessing, I think, that we're all so different, because we really just come together to celebrate each other's success rather than sit there and go, oh, well, Cole's at the Paralympics and my swimming career never took off. Like, we don't have that. So
that's,
I guess,
good.
It's kind of easy for Mum in that regard. She doesn't have to, you know, worry about the two of us, you know, one succeeding at the Paralympics and the other one bombing and not qualifying. So we've done her a service, I think.
But I love the way you put it just then, that we're all in awe of each other's achievements. I think that's a really special bond, but also it highlights the intimacy in the relationship that you have as a family, that you share each other's experiences, whether they're good or bad. I mean, it must be, you touched on it too, Tina, saying goodbye to him and having to make sure that he's, you know, doing the right, getting them the right train and tram and not getting injured and all that sort of stuff would be pretty tough. How, as a parent, do you keep the boundary between letting the coach do the coach thing and mum and dad doing the mum and dad thing?
Well, I found it quite easy because we started with this gentleman in Echuca called Russell Parsons, and he made it quite clear in the very early years that he was the coach.
Right.
And on pool deck, the coach is in charge. And so I've always, and as Cole's got older, I'm all about the coach is in charge. I am his parent. He is the Formula One car, mm-hmm, and I am paying someone to train that Formula One car. I am simply the owner, and I put all the money into, I repair whatever's hurt. I feed it. I pay for private school fees until we get scholarships. I pay for apartment to, like, his share of the rent and his food bills. Like, I find it doesn't hurt to chat to the coach, as his coach Matt King will say. I'm not afraid to ring Matt, but I don't tell Matt how to do his job. I ring Matt with the, if I think Cole's got a problem, I'll ring Matt. And Matt's the same. If Matt thinks that Cole's got a problem, he will let me know. So Matt and I have a really good relationship. We try and catch up once a year, and I instigated that. I don't think there's any harm. My bird's been very loud.
That's Kevin, by the way, in the background, just making his contribution known.
I love that.
Kevin's a parrot.
Matt and I would catch up once a year and just make sure Matt's aware of what Cole's goals and dreams are for the next 12 months. Matt's the coach. Matt and Cole will talk about it, and Cole will enter something, and I'm like, really, you want him to swim the 200 butterfly, not the 100 butterfly? But I never question whatever Matt's doing with him, because Matt is the coach. I never did a coaching thing. I'm a big believer that horses for courses. What you're good at, you do that. I'm good at being his mum, so that's what I do. I listen to him when he's had a bad set or a hard set. If him and Ashley are fighting, if him and Matt have had a disagreement over training. Like, I'm just the parent. I don't need to be the coach. My job is to simply support him. And if he asks for feedback on a race, I'll give it to him, because most of the time he wants me to sit in the stands and do nothing other than to video his race.
Yep.
So he can play it back and watch it, and then he can see what Matt said he's done wrong. Because, so let the coach be the coach. For me, we pay our coach. So you pay these people for a reason. They're good at what they do. Let coaches be coaches.
Yeah. I think you've put it beautifully there that realistically there's only one mum for Cole in this world, that's you. And if you don't mm-hmm. play that role and try and play another role, then that role of mum gets neglected. So I think sometimes as parents we can forget that. We can forget that there's only one mother and one father for that child, and therefore we have to play that role really well and let the others do their part, the teachers do their part, the coaches do their part, and so on and so forth. How as a mother then, and I think you kind of touched on this at the end, how did you balance the importance of education and Cole having to train as an elite athlete? Because as we all know, swimming's probably one of those ones that's way up there in terms of time in the pool. We talked about 8 sessions, but it's probably close to 23 to 28 hours a week. How did he balance all of that together? Because he's certainly an intelligent young man too. So how did he do that?
Well, school's always been very important to me. Like Ashley said, she's got a higher education being a solicitor, and Stephanie has a higher education. She went to uni. Corey didn't want to go through to year 12. He just wanted to go build things. So he was allowed to, had to finish year 11 and go and do, before he could go become a builder. And so for Cole, it was like, you have to go to school. Like, swimming will be there maybe forever, but swimming is you can't swim forever. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, the juggle has to work, and it is a real, he can juggle and he's awesome at juggling, but he just juggles really well. And St. Michael's are amazing. The school are completely on board with everything that he does. Like, he'll be just held up in traffic getting home from swimming. And because, like, you couldn't possibly go to school without spending 10 minutes cooking your porridge and eating it. So food is one of the main reasons Cole is always late for school. So right. I've got St. Michael's on speed dial. So they're really good with the fact that, because St. Michael's start at 8:30, unlike in Echuca, school was 9 o'clock. So we found that juggle really quite hard, getting to school for 8:30 on time. But he sort of never really got the hang of it. He was always late for school. But he always seemed to be able to make up the work, and the teachers have been really good. When it come time to picking his subject selections, knowing that he was going to be doing, thinking he was going to be doing year 11 in an Olympic year, picking, like, they were really good when it come to helping pick his subjects for year 11 and 12, because there's a number of subjects that you have to actually physically, and I don't know how this works anymore in the current world we live in, but you have to have physical attendance in the classroom to pass some subjects. So his subject selection really came back, and this is where the teachers were awesome, because they said, well, this subject, you have to be here so many, like, it has a percentage rate in class where this one doesn't, and matching him well in subjects. So you can't do an art course if you're not actually going to be there to submit your painting or whatever. Yeah. So being able, thinking that we didn't do any forward year 12 subjects either, so this has been a bit of a disaster. Like, he's a busy little pumpkin at the moment, because we didn't do any forward subjects. So we didn't do a year 11 subject in year 10, because he went to Worlds in year 10. Yep. And we were supposed to go to the Olympics in year 11. So why would you want to do a year 12 subject in an Olympic year if you didn't need to?
Yep.
So we had no forward year 12 planning. So he's really a very busy little person at present. And he rides his bike to and from training. So when you're saying he's between 23 and 28, I must add that it's probably longer because it takes him 45 minutes just to ride to MSAT. Wow. So whenever there's a lockdown, Cole's been in a high performance bubble and he's been able to still go to the pool. But wow, with the Grand Prix, they resurfaced Albert, what is that road called near
Lakeside
Street? Lakeside Drive. They repaved Lakeside Drive, so they shut all that down. So just to get to the VIS to go to a gym session, and if he had to swim at MSAC, it became a 20-minute bike ride turned into a 45-minute bike ride because he's not riding on King's Way. So he'd have to ride right around the back of the pool, just like I don't know what it's called, the lake, whatever the lake's called. He'd have to ride right around. Albert Park Lake. He'd have to ride around the back of it to get there. So that even added more time exercising. So Cole spends nearly as much time on his push bike as he does physically in the water. So we're hoping that changes when he gets home and can get his license. That'll be great. But yeah, so we found that just juggling year 12 this year has been a real act. We did have a few cracks appear in the armour a few months ago, but once again, speaking to the school, organising all the sacks and this gat that I don't know when it is again now, but hopefully it's not when he's in Tokyo, but just trying to organise all the sacks for this term and last term. There's a few hiccups in last term as well. The school's just been great. Communicate with the school. They are so understanding of these children that are pursuing big dreams that you'll be pleasantly surprised how the school wants to come on board and help.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Anything to add there, Ashley?
I would add in just re-emphasising the importance of school every now and then. It gets really easy, particularly at the moment when, you know, you're off chasing the dreams. You know, school is important, so keep it on the radar, but it isn't a now thing. You don't, you don't have to do all of your schooling in your early 20s, university or whatever it may be that you do after year 12. So that's something that we found helpful for Cole when he's freaking out that, you know, he doesn't know this specific thing about business management and, you know, how's he going to get into uni if he doesn't remember this. It's just a reminder that, you know, it doesn't matter if year 12 doesn't pan out how you want. It's important, so do your best, but if it all sort of comes unstuck, there's other ways to get to where you want to be. And so that's something that whilst we've been pushing school as being important, we've also been reinforcing that university is not the only way to achieve, and uni can be done at any time and at any pace. So that's been, I think, helpful for his little brain when he starts putting a lot of pressure on himself to, you know, it must get a good ATAR and must do all of these things. It's just a friendly reminder that school, whilst important, there's always something else to fall back on if it doesn't quite go to plan.
Yeah, and that's a great way to put it. And I had no idea, even though I've done lots of research on him, I didn't realise till Tina said it, that he's actually doing year 12 this year. So this is an incredible year for him to be, I guess, peaking in the sport, doing as much training as he can, but having to fit in school as well. That's unbelievable to think about.
Yeah, this is not how we planned it at all. Planned for the peak of sport to happen last year, which was year 11.
Yeah.
So all of these meetings with the school and putting together this, you know, plan for Cole just went out the window when the Paralympics were bumped back to this year because it just completely changed how we were doing everything. Year 12 was sort of going to be the cruisy year for him, you know, really cut back on training, maintain fitness, but none of the extra like strength and conditioning that he's been doing or the weekend sets and things like that. So yeah, the best laid plans, whilst well intended, don't always get you where you want to be. But I think the the bit that's made it possible is just constant communication with the school when he's having a hard day, when swimming's really getting to him, and making sure that the school knows what he does in a day. So there's been a bit of to and fro. You know, when you're doing your 12, it's lots of suggestions like get up an hour earlier and study for an hour in the mornings. We said, well, that's great, but that's Cole up at like 4:30 or 4 o'clock, and that's not going to work. Mm. Or, you know, don't watch TV in the afternoons and study then. Again, great advice, but Cole doesn't get home until 7 o'clock. Mm. So it just doesn't work. So we had to find other ways with the school to enable him to do the extra study that you need to do in year 12. And that was during the day. It had to be during the day. Mm. So working with the school is the only way that it works out. Otherwise, it's, you know, I can't even imagine getting anywhere if you were just trying to do a normal year 12 and train for the Paralympics.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this is why Cole didn't actually go to trials, because we couldn't make the gap, and his 5 sacks that he had the week. Like, she was a tight week anyway leading into trials. Yeah. And then when Victoria went down into a lockdown again, you can't physically move things in a 6 hour. Like, you have to get permission that takes weeks and weeks from the education board to move things. Mm. So we chose year 12 over trials, knowing that we'd already swam the qualifying time at two other meets that it was allowed to present our times from. Mm-hmm. So we did pick year 12 because we are worried that what happens if something goes wrong and he gets held up in quarantine, because Cole is very competitive. So obviously he wants an A to score to compare with his mates.
Yeah.
So we did want to sit the gap and do the 5 sacks. And that, so we did put year 12 in front of swimming on the hope that we'd done enough work. So yes, we do value his education, because I don't think, yes, we could do year 12 again, but I don't think Cole could physically do this again and not get halfway through year 12. And then that's when you lose it, because it's just too much work to just do it all over again.
Oh, definitely. And the added complication that we've talked about of having to do it remotely as well, or you know, not do it physically at school has made it very difficult for the current year 12s to do it last year and now this year as well. So you guys have done.
Yeah, so he's currently doing year 12 from Cairns. So that in itself, like he's had 4 or 5 sacks done on school camp, not school camp, on Cairns camp. And the school is once again being very good. Like, he's doing it on the same days as most of his friends, just probably not at the same time because he's got swimming commitments. But yeah, there's been people put in place to supervise Sacks while he's away in Cairns and Sydney's room. So while his swim mates are all resting for a couple of hours, he's still hitting the books and doing the Sacks that are required. And when he gets home, he's got 4 Sacks that need to be sat once he gets home. So it's not like he's just gone to the Olympics and year 12's been, or the Paralympics and year 12's been forgotten. Year 12 is still very much part of his life. So in he had to take 2 suitcases with him when he left because his school books weigh 15 kilos. So while he's in quarantine for 2 weeks, the perfect time to catch up on all that schoolwork he missed for the 2 weeks he was away, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Good use of the time. Well, congratulations to you both. You've both and all the kids have done an amazing job at playing their part. And to yourself, Tina, and your husband, you guys have done an amazing job at just, you know, helping Cole get to where he's got to, and to raise, now I've realised, 4 kids on the dairy farm. Brilliant work. As school sport, are very, very proud of Cole, and we will continue to champion him as a young man as he continues to keep progressing through whatever he progresses through. We're, you know, proud of him, not because of his achievements, but because he's just an amazing guy. His achievements are just an added bonus. So keep up the good work, and we will keep championing him as a young man.
Thank you.
Thank you.